You may be seated, and if you will turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're continuing our series on the gifts of the Spirit. The gateway into the manifestation gifts is being filled with the Holy Ghost. My subject tonight, the gift of tongues for public ministry, this is part two. The thing that really sparked this in my heart years ago, 1 Corinthians 12 and 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And then from verse 7 through 11, Paul expounds all of these gifts. We've been over them many times. We have studied, if you look at your nine manifestation gifts, we've studied, first of all, the three revelational gifts at length, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Paul lists these. Then we studied the three power gifts, faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healing. But I want you to notice in verse 10, we start seeing a mixture of gifts here, but then we move into the inspirational gifts. Notice verse 10, 1 Corinthians 12, 10, to another working of miracles, and here's the first inspirational gift, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. Of course, we know that is a revelational gift, but then we go right back to the inspirational gifts, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. So, in verse 10, you have those three inspirational gifts listed. First one that he mentions is prophecy, different kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. So the baptism in the Holy Ghost is the gateway into these nine manifestation gifts. And this is a confusing subject to many people. Prophecy really confuses a lot of people. I'm not confused at all about it. And I know the definition given right there in 1 Corinthians 14 and 3. I memorized it years ago. Prophecy edifies, exhorts, it comforts. Now, tongues with interpretation, and I've got given everybody a handout. If you don't have one, raise your hand and one will be brought to you. But they prophecy, and if you take tongues and interpretation of tongues, put it together, they're equal to prophecy. Prophecy is spoken in a known language, tongues in an unknown language. It requires interpretation so that the body may be edified, the body may be comforted, the body may be exhorted to holiness. So tonight we're going to do part two of the gift of tongues for public ministry. So let us pray. Father, we love you, praise you, thank you for revelational knowledge. We're moving in close on these subjects, Lord. We're moving in on the power of the Spirit. And, Lord, knowledge is power. If we're going to break chains, and we are, we must understand the name of Jesus, the power of the blood, the weapons of our warfare. And, Lord, we must have the gifts of the Spirit, the nine manifestation gifts at work in our midst. So we praise you and thank you for empowering us tonight, giving us giftings from the Holy Ghost. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. The gift of inspiration, it includes prophecy, the gift of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 and 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit, and no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So when you pray in an unknown tongue, you are speaking mysteries. So there must be an interpretation if you're going to have understanding. Now, in the gift of tongues for public ministry, we're not talking about your prayer language that you have. We're not talking about speaking in tongues that happen when you were filled with the Holy Ghost. We're talking about a sign gift from God that does something very specific. And the Bible tells us that to one person, another person is given this and that, to another diverse kinds of tongues. So this is speaking to us of the gifts of the Spirit that are given to the body of Christ. They're given to help us in our warfare. The gift of tongues is not learning a new language. I've heard people say that, but it is not that. The gift of tongues has no relationship with the human mind. It has a relationship with the born-again human spirit, where the Holy Ghost gives you utterances and speaks through your spirit. It's Him speaking, giving you a language to speak to God. The person who speaks does not know or understand what they're saying when this sign gift is operating. That's why it has to be interpreted. When you speak prophecy, you speak in a known language. If you're in Spanish, it's Spain, you speak Spanish. If you're in Russia, you speak Russian. If you're in America or England, you speak English. It's a known language. But the person's spirit is speaking to God when you speak in tongues. That means that there's an element of faith about speaking in tongues, and there's also an element of courage about it. The element of faith says, Lord, I believe this is you, and the utterance I hear, I'm going to speak it by faith. And it requires faith. And there's another element, the element of courage, that says, I don't care what man thinks. I'm going to let God's blessings flow through me. And then when you're a willing vessel, the gifts can function. As long as the Bible says, quench not the spirit. And some people, they're ashamed. And they say, well, it's me. Well, it is you. It's your mouth. And it's your spirit that's been regenerated by the blood of Jesus. But it's the Holy Ghost inside of you giving you the utterances. And when you hear that, you've got to say, I believe this is God and I'll speak it. Then you've got to say, I've got the courage to do it in a public gathering if God moves on me to do that. Now look at 1 Corinthians 14 and 2 again. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now, if the Bible says that, then we have to accept that. Amen? The person who is speaking does not understand what they're saying because their spirit is speaking to God, not their brain, not their mind. So who can have this sign gift or this ministry gift? Well, first of all, the only people who can have this gift are people that are filled with the Holy Ghost, people who speak in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, all my brothers and sisters that fight tongues, if you don't speak in tongues, I promise you, you will never have this gift operate through you where you address the body and there will be an interpretation. Not just born again people, not just the person who says I'm saved. No, the infilling of the Holy Ghost in your life, it is the door, it's the gateway into receiving this gift. And out of that experience flow all the nine manifestation gifts. So you get through the door, you got to get inside the door to find out what's inside the room. Amen. So a lot of people fight tongues and they don't want to get through the door. Therefore, they cannot have the gifts that are waiting inside. You have to get through the door. You've got to get inside of what God wants to do, and you've got to do it by faith. Now, one who has experienced Acts 2 and 4 and filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance, they can operate in this gift. Well, what happened in Acts 2 and 4? Well, look at it with me. As they were in the upper room, and they were waiting for the descent of the Holy Ghost. They weren't disappointed. Suddenly, he hit that place. He said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this is the initial filling with the person of the Holy Ghost when he comes to you in his fullness. And when that happens, you will speak in tongues. He gives evidence that he has taken up his residence in you. When he takes up his residence in his fullness, then the gifts of the Spirit begin to operate. And that's one reason there's so much confusion. One reason there's so much opposition is because the devil does not want you to be full of the power of God. Jesus said in Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So when you get him in his fullness, you will speak in tongues. Not just the witness of the Spirit that you get when you're saved, but you get the fullness of the Spirit where God gives you a divine vocabulary and you begin to speak in a heavenly language. Now, look at Romans 8:16, because for years I was taught wrong. I was taught that the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Catholics and other people in the church, that they don't have the Spirit. Well, I was taught wrong. They have the witness of the Spirit. And when I read Romans 8:16, a little light went on in my brain. I said, hey, they've all got the Holy Ghost. They just don't have the fullness. Look at this. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children. We are the children of God. Before I was ever spoke in tongues, I knew I was saved. So when I read that, I said, wow, I was taught wrong. They have the Spirit. They've just not been baptized in the Holy Ghost. They've not spoken in tongues. They don't have the fullness of the Spirit. I got filled with the Spirit, and as I sought God, all the gifts began to function, and I understood I'd gone through the door. I had one preacher said, you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do that. And I'm sitting there, and I'm saying, well, you might not can, but I can. Hallelujah. Now, Brother Elam Johnson was taught that if you speak in tongues all the time, it might be you, and you're doing disgrace to the Spirit of truth, something like that. And he was afraid because of what he was taught. So we got taught some wrong things. So you got to go back to the Bible. That if he spoke in tongues, that he was out of order. But then he realized that I hear these utterances. I hear that I have a prayer language. And so now he flows freely and that he's not afraid to do it. See, fear is of the devil. Faith is of God. And anytime you hear a negative voice, then if you can find scripture that wipes that thing out, then you can move on with God. Let me move on. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:5. Paul said, I would that you all speak with tongues. Do you see that? Paul said, I would that you all speak with tongues. Now, I'm going to just give you that much of that right now. Some people say, oh, I believe the whole Bible. And yet there are people that say, oh, yes, we believe in the whole Bible. We believe in the Great Commission. Yet they want to leave part of that Great Commission out. Now, the Great Commission is given in five places. My favorite place is in Mark chapter 16. Now, look at this. Now, these is given by Jesus. These are the last words he spoke before he left this place. Look at Mark 16:15. Jesus said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That's what Jesus, that's his commission to the church. Now look at verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Right there. That's enough for me. Cast out devils, speak with new tongues. Woo! I was talking to a man today. He said, I don't believe that all believers should be able to cast out devils. I said, I opened my Bible. I handed it to him. I said, read this. He read it. I said, what does it say? He missed it. I said, what does it say? It says believers. I said, you're a believer? That young man's a believer, and I'm a believer. Every one of us, in the name of Jesus, we've been given the Great Commission to cast out devils. I said, that's real simple for me. It's not a special assignment to people that carry credentials. I said, you can put all the doctor's degrees you have on the wall. It won't impress the devil one bit. But in the name of Jesus, say, come out and go into the uninhabited voids and torment your own self. He said, what do you mean the uninhabited voids? I said, a place where there's no person living. You devil, you go into the uninhabited voids and torment yourself and don't you come back. I said, if you got the power to cast the devil out in Jesus' name, you do. You can tell him don't come back. So these signs follow believers. Preachers will say, some of them, I sat at a table in Falcon. God help us. And one man been there for ages. I mean, he's an elderly man. And somebody brought it up. He said, I don't deal in that area. And he's going around the table. Oh, no, I don't deal in that area. I'm the last one on the table. And I said, oh, God, I felt like getting up and walking away. They said, what about you, Brother Nelson? I said, I've been casting them out ever since I got saved. I got up and walked away. They were not ready for me. They are not ready. Let me tell you, the Pentecostal Holiness Church, the Church of God, the Four Squares, and a lot of people that name Pentecost, they know nothing about casting out devils. Nothing. Nothing, nothing. I grew up in this thing. And I saw somebody cast the devil out of somebody. And that young girl was strong as a horse, and four men couldn't hold her. One of them told me, said, I'll never mess with something like that again. I would mess with it anytime it comes my way. I'm not afraid. You should not be afraid. You have power and authority in the name of Jesus to cast out devils. That's your commission. That's the commission. Hey, you preachers out there, that's your commission. Get about God's business. Hallelujah. I'm not teaching, a church doctrine. I'm teaching what the Bible says. about being filled with the Spirit. Then Jesus goes on in verse 18, and Jesus said, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's the Great Commission. Now, these were the last words Jesus ever spoke on this earth. Therefore, tongues and gifts of tongues is not a denominational blessing. Hallelujah. It belongs to the whole church. And God is doing a great thing in the earth today. He is jumping over denominational lines. And God is filling people of all denominations with His Spirit. And when I was a little boy, they talk, oh, we got a corner on God. They don't have the Spirit and we got it, like we were some super saint. And most of the time, people in that church now, our church, I said to my bishop, most of the people do not understand the name of Jesus and the power to cast out devils. They don't know. They just don't. They're ignorant. The reason I can say that, because in one of our big churches, I had a man call me up. He said, Brother Jerry, he said, I need some help. He said, I don't know anybody else I can call but you. He's one of our young preachers. He was sitting under one of our big preachers, got a big church. He said, my pastor doesn't operate in this. He said, I got two Muslims saved, and said, that place is full of demons, they say. And say, they come on the bed, and I'm afraid to go by myself. Will you go? I said, sure will. And I went, and we cleaned that house out in Jesus' name. Glory to God. You just got to know it's not you anyway, it's Jesus. Hallelujah. So tongues, and it's not a denominational blessing. It belongs to the whole church. I'm glad that we're part of a living church and that God is in our midst. And when you speak in tongues, you're not speaking unto men. You're speaking unto God. It's a verbal, vocal miracle, and we speak directly to the Most High God. Think about that. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaking not unto men, but unto God. Hallelujah. So where does this gift operate? If you're talking to God, well, it can operate in your prayer language. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, that doesn't require any interpretation. That's just a sign that you have been filled. It's the initial evidence that there are gifts now that are supposed to flow out of your being. So where does this gift operate? Look at 1 Corinthians 14:23. It says, Therefore the whole church become together into one place. So that is. The church is to come together. So this is a gift for the body. It functions in the church. This gift, along with the gift of interpretation, it edifies and builds up the body. Now, when you pray in your prayer language as you talk to God, 99% of the time, you're just talking to God. You're not addressing the body. When you pray in your prayer language, you build yourself up praying in the Holy Ghost. But when this sign gift that I'm talking about, the gift of tongues for public ministry, when this sign gift functions, it is to be interpreted so that the whole body can be edified. Now, most of the time, think about it, and I'm sure this is probably true with you. When I'm alone, walking from one place to another, talking to God in my car, I'm just talking and praying in the Spirit, and God's Spirit just pouring up out of me, blessings. And those are precious, wonderful moments. I'm all along with God, and it's just wonderful. And I get some wonderful things from God. I get sermons. I get all kind of stuff. And I'm filled with supernatural energy and supernatural strength and supernatural joy. And as you pray in the Spirit like this, you are praying your personal prayer language to God, all alone to God, edifying, building up yourself. So where is this sign gift of diverse kinds of tongues supposed to function? It's when we come together. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:26. Now, Paul had mentioned it earlier, but watch him as he progresses here. How is it then, brethren, when you come together? You see that? We're together tonight. Every one of you has a psalm. We've been singing tonight. Hath a doctrine. Hath a tongue. Hath a revelation. Hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. So when we come together, we come together so the Spirit can function in our midst together. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us in the latter part of that verse, in all the churches of the saints. So when you see the overwhelming amount of scripture on the subject of tongues, it makes you wonder, how could so many people be confused on this subject? See, God is not the author of confusion, but the devil is. And he fights tongues. He fights it. And says, there are people, they call them cessationalists. They believe that the gift stopped with the last apostle. Oh, my God. You know, I've talked to them, and I got friends. And I have tried my best, all my good brothers out there. I've tried my best to fellowship with them. And they say, oh, we need to pray for the power. We need, and I'm thinking, dear God, I got the power. And you praying for it? And they fight tongues. They fight being filled with the Holy Ghost. They fighting the very thing that will empower them with power from on high. And you can't save it so much because they cannot, they've been taught wrong so much they cannot receive revelation. So, you know, you just have to do the best you can to help them. And, you know, it's a gift. And so when we come together, we should let this gift function so the body can be built up. God states specifically that the vocal gifts of tongues and prophecy and interpretation of tongues, they are there to build up the total church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when people put up a wall and say, oh, no, I don't believe that. I wasn't taught like that. Well, that's some things I wasn't taught either. But as I've opened this book and the Holy Ghost has spoken to me, the great teacher, I've seen some wonderful truths and I've been able to move in on them. So this gift builds up the speaker, speaking in tongues does. For it's impossible to pray in tongues without building yourself up. Look at Jude 1:20. But ye beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, you don't pray in the Holy Ghost in English. Now you can get anointed to pray in the Holy Ghost, anointed to pray in English. But when you pray in English, it's something like this. Shandala bokusha, ramba koshaya, handele bohushata, woo, glory andara hasha. What did you say? Well, I hadn't asked God to tell me yet. I just know I'm praising him. I magnify, and I know that all of a sudden a new strength just flowed into me. Woo, I feel like I could run through the troop and leap over the wall. Amen. That it builds you up. It's given to build you up personally. It is, that's why you have a prayer language, to build you up. Exercise it. Don't be afraid to do it. God gave it to you as a gift to build you up in your most holy faith. If you're going to go cast out some devils, be built up before you get there. Amen. Fast and pray. Yeah, that'll help you. But we already done that, so let's just pray in the Holy Ghost and build ourselves up. Now look at this, 1 Corinthians 14:4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Write that in the Bible. Why are people so confused about it? It's simple. That is. But you put up 1 Corinthians 14:4. I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians 14:4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue. I don't know what I just said. I'm just praying in the Holy Ghost, building myself up. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. He that prophesieth edifieth the church. So if you're going to edify the church, you got to pray in an unknown tongue and somebody's got to interpret. That's the only way the church is going to get it. So, but let me move on. Hallelujah. When you pray in tongues, you build up or you strengthen yourself. Now, this gift that I'm talking about, it can function by word. It can function by song. I was in a meeting several years ago. I went up in the mountains with a man, and these people, they were singing in tongues, and then they sang with understanding. They had an orchestra. They had oboes. They had cellos. They had violin. I mean, man, they got it going. And I mean, this is beautiful. And somebody started out singing in tongues, and the next thing I know, they're singing in English. Beautiful music. And I'm wide open for it. Now, if I'd had some of my Pentecostal friends, they'd say, I don't believe that's God. I've had them tell me that. I just don't believe that's God. I don't believe God works well. He works any way he wants to. He'll jump out of your little hat anytime he wants to. Glory to God. He'll jump out of denominational boundaries. He's looking for somebody that's got faith that says, I believe that's God, and I feel his presence, and I'm going to flow in it. And that's how it happens. See, those tapes, back then they did tapes, and they were copyrighted because those songs belonged to the people that had received them in the Spirit, and then they sang them in the church in an unknown, in a known language. Now, I have a song that I wrote myself, and this was before I had that experience. So when I got there and they were doing that, woo, man, I'm wide open. I can receive it. Because I was in church one night. I told my wife, I was not pastoring. I said, I'm going and pray. I've got to go talk to God. And I would take my Bible and put a little piece of paper in there so when God spoke to me, I could write it down. 3 a.m. in the morning. And all of a sudden, I started singing in tongues. I'm just praising God. Next thing, I'm singing in English. Jesus is the only one who can save your weary soul. Jesus is the only one who can make a sick body whole. Jesus is the only one who can take away the pain. He really loves you. He'll make you whole again. Jesus came to this earth to do the Father's will. He left his home in glory so you and I might live. He raised the dead. He healed the lame. He raised the dead. He caused the blind to see. I like this. Oh, what a miracle when he came to live in me. Woo! Glory. And I add more to that song. But I sang that song in the Spirit. And I picked that piece of paper up and had a little light there, and I wrote the words to that thing, and I had a song. Like Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with understanding. So when by the time God got me to that place up in the mountains, I went with a man. He's in heaven now. Reynolds Smith. He was a pastor. And they sent pastors there to build them up. I just got an invitation. I wasn't a pastor. Well, I guess I was one in the works. Amen. But three states came together right there at one place up there in those Smoky Mountains. It was a beautiful experience for me. You know, it's possible that we have never seen the full ministry of this beautiful gift in the church. Listen to the word of God. Colossians 3:16. Look at this. These are all Paul's revelation. Paul was such a powerful man of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Look, here it comes again. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. What is a spiritual song? It's a song that you sing in the Spirit like I did, and then you sing it in English. Or you just sing it to God. Hallelujah. I mean, you just get, well, I'm lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost, and he's drawing me closer to the one I love the most. Yes, I'm keeping company with a heavenly host. I'm just lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost. You look so dumb, the devil tells me that. Well, I'm lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost, and he's drawn. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to praise him. I'm not ashamed to dance. I'm not ashamed, praise God, to let the world know Jesus Christ saved me, and today I'm alive and free because of his miracle-working power. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The devil tells me all the time, don't you know how foolish that looks? Yes, I do. Woo! I just punish him with my praise when he tells me that. I'll punish him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at this one, Ephesians 5:19. I love this. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Glory to God. So here we find tremendous evidence that this gift can function to build you up and then also to edify and build up the body of Christ as we sing in songs. Hallelujah. Spiritual song. Now, the person who speaks in tongues may also be granted the second gift, the gift of interpretation. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, I've been in meetings where there was no interpretation, but I knew the gift was real. I had someone in this church ask me, said, when that man gets up and speaks in tongues, is that him or is that the real Holy Ghost? I said, it's the real Holy Ghost, but it's his spirit, and he needs to sit down, control himself, and speak to God and quit speaking to the whole body. I said, he's out of order. And I'm glad that I've never had to straighten him out. He was an elder of mine, but I had planned to because he was disturbing the whole body. And when that happens, things have to be put in order. You know, God is not a God of confusion. He's a God of order. But it's amazing, you know, how much God speaks about this gift. He said that the person that speaks in an unknown tongue may pray that they can interpret. So if you have one gift and you happen to be in a place where there's no one to interpret, then you should start asking God. You probably need to start now and ask him for the additional gift. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, I said that earlier, I said, it's not your mind praying, it's your spirit. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, right there, I want you to know, right now, I'm speaking to you in English. I am functioning out of my solical parts, my mind, my willpower, and my emotions, my soul, the psyche of man. But when you speak in the spirit, your mind is not functioning. You're given the language, but the language flows out of you from another person who lives inside of you. It's the Holy Ghost. It's your mouth speaking. You're doing the speaking, but the language is that of the Holy Ghost who lives inside of you. What a treasure we have in earthen vessels, Paul said, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. It's not me. It's him. It's him functioning through me. When people are healed, it's not me. It's him functioning through me. When miracles happen, it's not me. It's him. It's this treasure that we have in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. We're just vessels of honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. We're not afraid to flow in the spirit. We know it's God. We know the devil's not going to help anybody. We know he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So it takes faith and it takes courage to move out in these gifts. You got it's faith. Hallelujah. Now, God does not force you to speak. He gives you the language, but you must speak. He gives the utterance. It's you speaking. It's a function of the Holy Spirit as he functions through your human spirit. So when you pray in an unknown tongue, your spirit prays, but your understanding is unfruitful. And I was reading today, we got this site called Pentecostal this, and all these people argue these facts about Pentecost. And they put some of the most ungodly, unscriptural stuff out there. I wonder, where in the world are you coming from? Don't you read your Bible? Don't you know these things? And I'm not being critical. I'm just saying they just do not know. Because if they knew, they would be functioning and teaching somebody instead of asking these silly questions. Read your Bible. You'll find the answer. So when you pray in an unknown tongue, your spirit prays, but your understanding is unfruitful. They said, oh, I want the real thing. Well, I think I got the real thing. I've got what the Bible talks about, the Holy Ghost. That's what we have here. And guess what? Some good Baptists have it. Some good Methodists have it. The charismatic movement, the Pentecostals could not accept the charismatic movement. They thought I'd gone crazy when I told them. They said, why are you going to Israel, Lester Sumrall? I said, I want to see what God's doing in the rest of the body. Well, why don't you go with the church of whatever I was part of then? I said, because I know what they teach. I know what they're doing. I want to know what God is doing in other parts of the world. I want to know what God is doing in the body of Christ. And I'm reading I went to T.L. Lowry's School of Healing, and I told my wife, I'm going back through that book, a great big manual. I said, this man broke ranks with his denomination. He never left his denomination. He just broke ranks when it come to some of the charismatic teaching. He embraced Kenneth Hagin. He embraced T.L. Osborne, who had a great healing ministry. He embraced some of the teaching of E.W. Kenyon. Some people can't read his stuff. They say it's too controversial. I read the first book by him, bought every book he had, and God began to open stuff up to me. It was stuff I'd never been taught, but it was stuff that my spirit said yes. And if you can't do that, let me tell you where you will be for the rest of your life. You will be right where you are. But if you will embrace what the Spirit is saying, you can get some wonderful treasures from God. Tongues are a sign to sinners. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 14:22. Wherefore tongues are for a sign not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Look at that. So we know that tongues flow from our spiritual parts, and they are signed to sinners. Tongues are signed to sinners, and prophecy is a sign to believers. Well, why is prophecy a sign to believers? Because prophecy does only three things. I'm talking about the gift of prophecy. It comforts. Put 1 Corinthians 14:3 up. I want you to see this. This is the only definition you will ever find in the Bible on this gift. And anywhere else it's mentioned, I want to tell you, it's referring to that gift right there. I've studied it in detail. I've studied it. And Paul lists gifts in other areas. And there's some of these same manifestation gifts. You just got to be willing to. He that speaketh, prophesied, speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, comfort. If you can find me another definition of prophets in the Bible, please bring it to me. There it is right there. When that gift functioned through my life for the first time, I said, God, that's the craziest thing I've ever done. And when I went home and picked up a book by Lester Sumrall, and I saw that, it convinced me forever. And I've studied it in detail. Going back and looking at the Greek words, that's the gift right there. I prepare a message to preach. I can move over into that gift, but I can get up and preach with no notes. That's not prophecy. I can get up and teach with no notes. That's not prophecy. Prophecy is when you get a divine inspiration from God and you speak about three words out of your brain, and then the rest of it flows like a river out of you, just like tongues and interpretation. It just flows. You know the flow. Hallelujah. And you're edifying, exhorting, and building up the body of Christ. I want to look at 1 Corinthians 14:27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three. That by course, let one interpret it. So we see that's divine order. So if there's not interpretation in the church, don't just keep talking in a spiritual language that nobody understands. If there's no interpretation, sit down. Speak to yourself and to God. That's divine order. Now, this also shows that a human is in control over the situation. Even though the Holy Ghost is giving you the utterances, you are still in control. Listen, look at 1 Corinthians 14:32. And the spirits of the prophet are subject to the prophet. God is not going to make you do anything. God is not going to overwhelm you to where you just get up and go wild and get out of order. No. God is a God of divine order. And he will give you instruction. And what you got to do is have enough spiritual discernment to know that this is God and I need to obey him and do this. Now, I wanted to get to that handout, and I know I don't have enough time, but I want to spend the balance of my time reviewing chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians 14. I believe this will help bring tremendous revelation on the inspirational gifts of prophecy, tongues, and for public ministry interpretation of tongues. Now, if you look at your handout, I've extracted certain parts, and if you would go back, we're going to show these scriptures, 1 Corinthians 14:1. Look at that scripture there. Now, I'm extracting a part on purpose so you can understand this entire chapter. The scripture reads, follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. All I want to extract from that is desire spiritual gifts. This will help you understand. Verse 2 says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. I've quoted that many times. Look at that hand there. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh unto God. See that? It's in that verse right there. I'm just extracting certain parts to help you understand this. Verse 2, in the spirit, in tongues, he speaketh mysteries. So just leave the rest of it and follow this. And then if you look at this and go back and read it all in its context, you will understand it. It'll be a beautiful picture to you. Look at verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So look at verse 4 in your handout. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. That is. Just take that part. Look at verse 5. Paul said, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. And then he goes on and it gets confusing. Look at verse 5. Paul says, I wish that you all spake with tongues. That's all you need to understand right there until you get an understanding of the flow of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 5, greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Okay, so when we get to verse 13, look at verse 13. It says, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. That's what you want to know. You're extracting certain truths out of this. We're not taking anything from the word. It's just to help our understanding. So, verse 14, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. That's all that's praying is your spirit, okay? Your understanding is unfruitful, but your spirit is praying. That's what I want you to see. Verse 15, I will or I choose to pray with the spirit in tongues. I will or I choose to pray with understanding. I have purposed in my heart that not only am I going to pray in the spirit, I'm going to ask God, what does it mean? God, you're giving this beautiful language. What are you saying to me when I'm praying alone? What are you saying to the church when you operate this gift in the body? Look at verse 15. What then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding. I will also sing with the Spirit. I will sing with understanding. Now, I gave you an example of that. So that's powerful right there. So we see all of this going on in the body of Christ today. But I don't think we understand what God is trying to say to us. Now look at 1 Corinthians 14:17. For thou verily givest thanks well, praying in the spirit, but the other person's not edified. Do you see that? It's just you being edified. You're giving thanks well, singing and praying in tongues, but you're not blessing the body. All you're doing is blessing yourself. So it's important. Look at verse 18. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Paul said, I pray with tongues more than all of you put together, more than all of anyone else in the church. Look at verse 22. This is powerful. It says, if you read the whole thing, it says, wherefore tongues are a sign not to them that believe, but to them that believe not, but prophesy and serve not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. That gets pretty confusing. But look at verse 22 here. Just take this out. Tongues are a sign to them that believe not. And verse 27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let one interpret. Then you go to verse 28. If there's no interpreter, no interpretation of tongue, keep silent in the church. Now look at verse 39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues. So the part I want you to see is forbid not to speak with tongues. Because there are so many churches, they say, we don't have that in our church. We don't believe that in our church. Well, do you believe the Bible? Oh, we believe it's inerrant, authoritative word of God. Oh, you believe the whole Bible? Oh, yes, we believe the whole Bible. But we don't believe that. They don't believe the whole Bible. They call them cessationists, I think that's the word. It ceased with certain people. But we know better than that. And I love them. But, you know, I'm not going to let their lack of revelational knowledge keep me from healing the sick, because this gift right here, speaking in tongues, is the gateway, and being filled with the Holy Ghost, that is the gateway. I heard one man, I have great respect for him, he said, it's the lesser gift. I said to myself, my spirit said, oh, no, there are no lesser gifts. They're all given, and they're all given for a reason. And this one is given to build you up. It's given to build up the body of Christ. It's given to so you can get inside the room to see what else is on the other side of the room. Now, this last page here, I want you to see this, because right here is the meat of it. It'll take you a long time to find this. I promise you this. In this chapter, 1 Corinthians 14, Paul puts tongues and prophecies side by side. So here's some of the differences. Go back and take your Bible. 1 Corinthians 14, 2 and 3. Tongues are utterances to God. You should really see this right now after this teaching. Prophecy is given for the benefit of man. There it is. 1 Corinthians 14, 3 and 4. That which is spoken in tongues is not understood. All prophecy is understandable. It's given in a known language. See how beautifully it fits? 1 Corinthians 14, 3 and 4. Tongues edify or build up the speaker. Prophecy is for the benefit both of the hearer and the speaker. Point C, the speaker in tongues is in communion with God. D, the gift of prophecy is for men to edify, exhort, and comfort. One is to God, one is to man. Isn't that amazing that we're created in God's image and God understands all the languages, but he wants us to understand the mysteries that are hidden in the language of the Holy Ghost as he gives us the utterances. It's exciting to me that God would put such a gift inside of a human vessel that you could just flow. You don't even know, but God knows. And God just flows out of you like that. And he puts you in places to where you can do exploits. Because the Bible says, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And one of my continuous prayers is this: oh God, teach me. Holy Ghost, show me. Holy Ghost, help me. Empower me. I feel so inadequate sometimes, Lord. I'm thankful for what I know, but there's so much more. I've not even touched it. Oh God, open up my understanding. That's my constant prayer, that, like Paul said, that I may know him, the fellowship of his suffering, the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his death. Look at 1 Corinthians point 4. Tongues are never equal to prophecy unless someone interprets. If you go back and read that, it says, he that speaketh, greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, except he interpret that the body may be edified. So that's an exception. Some people have penknife the word and they say, oh, it's just greater to prophesy. I said, what about the exception? I said, if I speak in tongues and interpret, guess what? They're equivalent. So don't get hung up by religion, is what I'm telling you. Just read your Bible and pray. Point B, tongues interpret are equal to prophecy because the church is edified. Pastor Ricky, 1 Corinthians 14, 22. Tongues are a sign for the sinner, for unbelievers. That's why when they come into your assembly and you're speaking in tongues and they feel the power of God, they're convicted. But prophecy is for them that believe. Why is prophecy for those that believe? Because prophecy is given to build up the body. But 1 Corinthians 14, 3. I want this to get deep in your spirit, because if you can understand this, you will never be confused about the gift of prophecy again. Never, never, never. 1 Corinthians 14, 3. He that prophesieth, speaking unto men, to edification, exhortation, and to comfort. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you will teach us. Lord, there's so much and so much that people have taught on this. And Lord, I've read most of it that people have written, and some of it's so confusing. Lord, but when we follow your word, we're not confused. You're not the author of confusion. You're God of revelation. Teach us, show us, empower us, prepare us. Lord, that's a great harvest. And as we build ourselves up in our most holy faith, we know our God and we're strong and able to do mighty exploits in Jesus' name. Let us stand. Hallelujah.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. These are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore, still we
Hallelujah.
Are the voice
glory.
In the desert.
Yes, Lord.
Crying, prepare
Coming
ye the
for
way
glorious
of
church.
The Lord.
Woo.
Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. Trumpet call, lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, out of Zion's here salvation comes, behold he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, out of Zion's here salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. These are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide in your world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes.
Yes!
Oh, at the trumpet call, lift your voice, year of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.